As you know, I'm preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. I'm always looking ahead, so if you are on top of it, we'll be moving into the Lord's Prayer pretty soon, next week. And so I will remind you that that prayer we say every Sunday morning before service, we will look at it in depth and in detail and actually see what we are praying when we do the Lord's Prayer. If anybody ever asks you and where it's at, it's in the Sermon on the Mount. Today we're at Matthew 5:38 through 42. Matthew 5:38 through 42. And you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. May the Lord God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Well, I'm going to try and preach a little differently to you this morning, since we're not a vast crowd here, but we're all familiar with being Americans. Well, I assume most of us are Americans. You were raised in America. I was essentially raised in America. Well, if you put aside the first 6.5 years of my life, I was raised in the South Pacific, if you didn't know that. In fact, I'm half Australian, so I was born in Japan. And then I was in Australia and in Guam and in the Philippines. So until my dad came home to the USA after his service. And after that, I became a full-blooded American. I know all about our rights. And so when people shaft you, when people cheat you, when people annoy you and irritate you, the American way is, and I've even heard this from believers, I get even. We get, as it were, our own kind of justice. We have our vengeance. In fact, that's sort of like sometimes where feuds have started, because we call in our families historically to help us, depending on what the offense is. And so as Americans, we think, I have my rights. And we do have a certain amount of rights because of our citizenship. We're all familiar with the Bill of Rights. And so you say, I have the right to this and I have the right to that. The problem is we take our concept of citizenship and we apply it to the Bible. And we say, as a Christian, I have my rights. And if somebody ticks me off, then, hey, God says it's okay for me to get even. And we don't hesitate to go to court. In fact, we even go to court more today than we did 50 years ago. We have changed the rules, as it were. Historically, about 50 years ago, did you know that professionally lawyers could not advertise? Did you know that? It was considered unethical or to look for clients. You had to just have them come to you by word of mouth or by their choice. Nowadays, you know, and I laugh all the time at all these commercials for lawyers. I want to tell you something. If you do go to and whoever law firm you put in there, they say, the law firm got me $400,000, $300,000, 150,000. I want to clarify, that's false advertising. That law firm took half of that 400,000. Did you know that? They're going to charge you 50% to get that money. So the client should say, they got 200 and I got 200. They're lying to us. But anyway, that's another thing. But why do we do that? Because we think I have my rights to go to court. I have my right to retrieve punitive damages for pain and suffering and all this other stuff we think we have a right to do. That's why nowadays they have to toss out so many lawsuits, because people are just sue crazy over here. But we think, hey, I have my right to do this. Now, the Bible does not say that. Do you understand that? The Bible says sometimes you should just write it off. Sometimes you should absorb the insult or the loss. You know, Jesus is actually, that's what he's teaching here. He's saying, hey, don't go out and try and get even. He says, and now, this is why the Pharisees really got upset. They said, hey, they said if somebody insults you, you know, go and get even and get all you can get. And you'll know Jesus is saying the Pharisees are wrong. It's sort of like us saying the biblical scholars at the liberal universities and in some churches are wrong. How would we have the audacity to tell you a religious person is wrong? But that's what Jesus did. And you'll notice he says, you have heard it was said. So throughout the Sermon on the Mount, you'll hear this phrase in verse 21, verse 27, verse 31, verse 33, verse 38, verse 43. And what Jesus is doing, and we as Westerners probably didn't pick up on it, is saying, the Pharisees have said, they have interpreted the law to mean this, but they're wrong. And they knew it. I mean, and the people knew it. And so when he says, you've heard it said, he says, they've been giving you a lot of garbage and twisting the law to suit themselves. They're giving you erroneous teaching. It isn't written in the law of God. So, you know, like it says, the Bible, this is, they say, the Pharisees' teaching, you've heard it said that you should hate I love your neighbor and hate your enemies. And people will embrace that and say, yeah, that makes sense. That's not true. There's nowhere in the Bible that God, when giving the law, said to the people to go out and love your neighbor and hate your enemies. That came from the Pharisees because they wanted to have a reason to go and get even for those who have cheated them. That's where it comes from. We want to get even. So he says here, you've heard it said, now this is their interpretation, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now actually, they meant more than that when they interpreted it, not what it was written. Because in essence, what God was saying is, if somebody does cheat you and you go to court, you can get even for what they have done to you, but that's the limit. So the law actually limits. That is, God's law says, if you want to get even, truthfully, you want to get even? You know, we say if somebody hits us, or somebody cheats us, or somebody robs us, or what insults us, we don't say, I simply want to get even. Honest. I'm going to not only get even, I'm going to get more. If they knock out one tooth, I'm going to knock out all their teeth. Am I not right? Yeah, you're saying, in the process of getting even, we're saying we get more. Well, we're not just going for the one tooth that they knocked out. We're going to get 10 or 20 or all of their teeth. So when they cheat us, when we say we're going to get even, we actually say we're going to get more. I'm going to get justice, and I set the scale as to what justice is. What God did and what Jesus is saying is, it's equivalent. If accidentally or somebody, in a fight knocks out one tooth of yours, and they had a court system in Israel, in the Old Testament, says if you lost one tooth, you got one tooth. They gave one tooth. Or the court system would put a value on that tooth, and it was consistent. And so if you broke a finger or an injury or whatever, their court system said, well, that's worth $20, or that's $50. You couldn't get more. And you couldn't get, as it were, pain and suffering. Because nowadays, we want to sue for pain and suffering. You see, and all those kinds of damages. The Old Testament said it was equivalent, and the elders and the law was specific. You got what they said. You didn't get more. You didn't get less. And they didn't like that. I mean, the Pharisees, they didn't like it. Let's be honest. You don't like it. If somebody does something to you, you want to get pain and suffering. And who are they to say my finger is worth this much or my arm is worth this much? And by the way, if you didn't realize it, the insurance companies do that today too. They have a figure in their stats. If you lose an arm or a foot or whatever, they've got a price attached to that, if you didn't realize that even today. Haddon Robinson writes, although it allows retaliation, that is, if there is an offense, it limits it by setting restrictions. If a person knocks out a tooth, I get his. And if I poke out his eye, he gets mine. Retaliation, as we know it, sets out to get more than that. It doesn't allow the whole family to get into the act. When wronged, we tend to line up forces of family and friends to retaliate. Without the law of retaliation, revenge goes from the individual to the family, to the clan, to the tribe, and ultimately to the whole nation. So what seems to some like a blood-hungry law was actually a way of limiting violence and bloodshed. So an eye for an eye was actually to limit, to not allow it to expand even from tribe to tribe, as it says. And by the way, you want to know where the Hatfields and McCoys came from? Just what I told you. They wanted more and more. And so the court determined the value. So we move on in the passage, and you'll notice it says something unusual here that we struggle with, especially, verse 39, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Well, that doesn't make sense. I mean, when you think about it, what's Jesus telling us? That if some bad guy comes up and puts a gun at me, I'm not allowed to defend myself. I'm not allowed to knock the gun away. I'm not allowed to draw my own gun if I've got a concealed carry permit. You know, people fuss about that. So, what's he saying here that don't resist an evil person? That doesn't make sense. I mean, especially if you're in law enforcement, you got to carry a gun. Or if you're in the military, you have to carry a gun. And so we're asking ourselves, what does he mean by don't resist an evil person? Now, you have to understand we're in the context here of retaliation. Sometimes we forget that. So what he's actually saying here, and if we look in that this exact same word throughout the Bible, to clarify it, resist means to oppose, to withstand someone, to fight against something. So God tells us very specifically in the Bible, there are certain things we should resist, and there are certain things we should not resist. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are not to resist God. So if God wants to deal with you, then cooperate. Romans 9:19. We're not to resist God's truth. If God says it and it's clearly stated, don't argue against it. 2 Timothy 3:8, 2 Timothy 4:15, Luke 21:15, Acts 6:10, Acts 13:8. We're not to resist delegated authority. So we could go on to another topic and subject there, but technically as citizens, and the government is in charge and they pass biblical laws or laws that aren't anti-biblical, we should obey those laws. We don't have a right to resist them. Now, if the Bible, if the government tells you to do something unbiblical, that's different. But he's saying if it's the biblical, do it. It says also in the Bible that we are to resist the devil. That's clear. Ephesians 6:13, 1 Peter 5:9, James 4:7. So we have certain things that God tells us not to resist, and we've got other things that God says we are to resist. So we're supposed to fight against the devil and his teachings and his false doctrines and the errors that he is promoting. So in this context, what he is talking about, there is an evil person who has cheated you. Don't resist him in the sense of going out to get even is what it means. It says don't go out and go on a crime-fighting spree, as it were. So that's what he is saying, is that don't be a vigilante, maybe in that sense. He's saying there are certain things that God has set up to take care of those, and it is not in your realm to get your own justice, as it were. So we're not, in a sense, authorized. So when he says, don't resist the evil person, he's not talking about, you know, being in the military or in the police, or even when a person attacks you, God says you can defend yourself in the Bible. Now, I'm going to illustrate this from the Bible to prove what I just said is biblical. So that's the best way to do it. So let me give you some actual biblical illustrations. And some of them are in the, obviously in the passage here. He talks about, okay, let's say somebody smacks you in the cheek, turn the other cheek. We've probably heard that a lot, right? So he says if somebody hits you in the cheek, instead of hitting back, turn the other cheek. That's not what it means, but that's what we think. Because if you'll notice, he's very specific. It says, if somebody hits you in the right cheek, turn the other cheek, as it were. So, let me illustrate to you. Here's my right hand. Over 90% of the people in the world are right-handed. They are. I mean, you can check that out. So, if I was going to hit somebody with my fist, which is the intent, right? I mean, they're saying you're going to hit this guy because, and he's standing right there. I'll put Andy up, and I'm going to say, okay, Andy, I'm going to hit you because you ticked me off. And I swung that fist. Where'd it go? Left. Left cheek. Left cheek. To hit him in his right cheek, which I'm not going to do because he beat me. But anyway, if I did that, guess what? I'd have to take my hand, my right hand, and slap him like that. Right? And then he'd be on the right cheek. What he's talking about is insulting people. Because there's a lot of cultures, he's not talking about fist fighting. He's talking about insulting people. And it's an insult. Just say he ticks me off. You hit him on the cheek like that. That's an insult. But, you know, that's not, in a sense, a fist fight. That's just saying, you ticked me off. And what did he just say? Well, Andy's response is to say, well, that guy ticked me off. He just hit me on the right. He just insulted me. The response would be, oh, I'm going to insult him back. I'm going to slap him on his right cheek. And you're going to just escalate this insult sort of stuff. And that's not what Jesus is teaching. He's saying that, hey, if somebody has, for whatever reason, whatever, and he insults you, like in a verbal insult, hey, walk away. That's essentially what he's saying. He's saying, don't make an issue out of it. Yeah, he's in the wrong. You know he's in the wrong, but you're not going to accomplish anything, and if you're representing me as a believer, you don't want to get involved in an insult throwing back and forth. So that's what he's saying here. So when he says, turn the other cheek, that's what he means. He just says, hey, walk away. And by the way, there are other cultures that's what it actually means. If you're in Ireland, it means give the back of my hand to you, which means to insult them, or it actually means you're scum or whatever. And you know that in other societies, in other cultures, that's what exactly it means. So don't retaliate if people say bad words about you and insult you. And I've been doing that most of my Christian life because, man, my wife, man, she... I have to turn the other cheek to her all the time there. No, she's nice to me. She doesn't insult me much. So, but the whole point is, as we represent Jesus, we don't, you know, and a lot of people, you know, they got a short fuse. And if you're representing, Jesus just said, hey, turn the other cheek. See, saying, do not seek retaliation. Now there's another passage here where he talks about, and of course we have a difficult time in the West relating to it also, because he says, hey, if somebody, you know, wants your undergarment and you give them the coat passage, what in the world is he talking about there? Well, you see, we don't live in that society and we don't live in that culture, so we don't understand what he is talking about. A person has a ton of undergarments. They're not expensive. In a sense, I'll try and illustrate it like this, but it won't be an accurate, exact illustration. But let's say in our culture, we can understand you wear a suit, you know, and you have a suit, and if your job depends on it, then, you know, some suits are expensive, but some suits are less expensive. So if you get a work suit, but you live in a cold area like, well, I'd say Des Moines, but let's get Minneapolis where it really gets cold, because it doesn't get that cold down here in Des Moines. But if you lived up there, you'd want to wear a big, heavy coat. I mean, you see those coats. So some of those coats might cost $500, maybe even $1,000. You know, and so you put on your heavy coat over your suit. Well, what's worth more? Well, the heavy coat's worth a lot more than the suit. And the law says, that is the Jewish law, said that you could take the outer garment, the outer coat, for collateral if there was a loan involved. But when the sun went down, you were obligated to give them their coat back because it was a necessity, especially against the cold. So it was only collateral during the day, and then at night you had to give it back to them. And you notice what Jesus says? Hey, give them the coat. He's trying to say, even over possessions, don't get so involved with them that you want to sue them, that you want to go to court. That's exactly what he's saying there, and that's what he means. And of course, we probably don't like that in the bottom line either, but Jesus says you're representing me, so don't get so immersed in your possessions that you create this vendetta against each other, this little war that you have against somebody who has slighted you or cheated you, and so now you're going to court to get this or that. That's what he's meaning there. So he says, don't seek to retaliate over that either. Boy, Jesus, what are you telling us to do? I mean, this isn't right, but that's what he's telling us. So then he says here, if you read on in the passage, he's talking about, because this is true from the Persians and from the Romans, and they transported a lot on foot. They all didn't have horses and wagons all the time. So a lot of soldiers, foot soldiers, they needed help to carry their equipment. And so the law said if you were a citizen, wherever they were, that soldier could tap you on the shoulder and say, help me with my equipment for a mile. A mile in that society was measured as 1,000 steps. And so legally, any soldier who was transporting equipment on foot could come up to a citizen and say, hey, I need you for a mile. Help me carry. And they had to. It was the law. And they would pick it up, and they would, and as a rule, every citizen who did that was annoyed, was upset, was not happy about it, and it says they would count or number every step. 1, 2, 3. And when they arrived at 1,000, they could legally then put down that equipment, and the soldier would have to go get another citizen. And so that was the practice. And it was an inconvenience for the citizen. So what are we going to say? Jesus comes along and says, look, if somebody has inconvenienced you, has required you to walk a mile, you're representing me, walk another mile. What? Yeah, I just gave him a mile. And that's exactly what he said. He said, and you give them of your time. Don't get so upset with them. Just go the other mile. And that's what he is saying. And believe me, they really didn't embrace it. Probably if we don't have laws like that today, but we don't like to be inconvenienced for our time, in a sense, and that's what people are doing. You know, it's sort of like people inconvenience us, a lot of us, all the time, trying to steal from us. They call us on the phone and try and say they want you to buy their warranty, or you want to trip on their cruise ship or whatever. And so what I do now, I'm nice. It says, you know, if please press 1, you know, or whatever. Because if you press 9, not to have to call back, that doesn't do any good. They always call you back. So I'm nice. I press 1, and the person comes on and says, do you want this? And they say, why did you press the number? I said, well, the lady said press 1. So I pressed 1. Well, we're trying to, you know, and I sell me, and what is your balance on your credit card? Because they're trying to sell you credit cards and take care of your balance. And I said, well, I don't have any balance on my credit card. And they hang up. But if you didn't know that. But anyway. Also, it says in the Jewish law that you cannot or should not, people who are in need help and assistance. Some people make a living at assisting poor people. They do. In fact, we got them all around the city here. We call them, go ahead and get your paycheck cashed early or get some early money. And, you know, I've always figured out, why do people do that? You know, in a sense, they've got to give them 2 days' work just to get their money early. And if they don't get the money early, the fee or the late fee is so exorbitant, you wonder, why were they so desperate? But they're all around, so I guess I can't relate to that. But anyway, in Israel, there were people who assisted people who were poor and made a lot of money out of it. But if you study the Old Testament, they also had a system. Part of that is that every 7 years, all your debts were wiped clean, free. So if you owed a money lender who lent you some money, and he knew and you knew that in like 1 month or 2 months or 3 months, the time to collect the interest expired, and your slate was wiped clean and he couldn't collect any of it. So the practice from all those businesses and all those people dried up. they didn't lend money anymore until the last year expired. And so people who were in need, really in need, had nowhere to go. Because the people said, no, we're not going to lend you one penny because we may not get a profit. You may not pay us back. All you got to do is wait 90 days and we're out of our money. And that was the practice. And so because of that, let me read to you what James Boyce says. This is not speaking of the professional beggar, of course, the kind who will spend all you give him on drink. It's speaking of a genuine need. Nevertheless, it does teach that we are to meet that need. Actually, the instruction is exactly the same as that given to us by John, who wrote to those of his day, "But whoever hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." 1 John 3:17 through 18. So when somebody is legitimately in need, legitimately hurting, what God is telling us, what Jesus is telling us, we shouldn't be in it to make a profit in the first place, but we should be there to help them. But yeah, in a sense, he also says the New Testament teaches vet them, like he's saying, just don't to give to somebody who comes along with their hand out, because God says, hey, you've got to be shrewd. You got to be, if the person is actually hurting, then help them. And we should do that, and we try and do that in our city through Hope Ministries and other food pantries as such. But there are some people who are also preying on those people who are living from paycheck to paycheck. Well, I'm going to wrap it up here by saying there are a lot of us are probably in agreement with the Pharisees. We don't like what Jesus says when it comes to getting even. Hey, I didn't write it. I'm telling you, this is what Jesus is saying, is that we have not been commissioned to retaliate. In fact, just think where we would be if God retaliated against us. How many times we have messed up. And we're thankful that God is gracious and forgiving. So, be loving, you know. And, hey, yeah, if somebody insults you, that isn't a reason to go to war. But yet, some people do in our society today. And you know what I mean. And he says, hey, just take it. Be kind, be loving. Remember, you represent Jesus. Let's just stand now and close in prayer. Lord, thank you for these lessons that we've learned that you have shared with us. We readily confess at times it is difficult. So by your Spirit, we would ask that you would empower us to do these things. In your name, amen.